We're talking about the war. We're talking about battles today. Again, we're going to be in 1 Samuel for most of the scriptures today, but 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. And it says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socal, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socal and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the other side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. And he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Battles today. Is everyone in here aware that we are in a war today? We are in a big time battle today. You see, there's lots of wars going around all around this world in different countries and all sorts of things. But the battle I'm talking about today, the war I'm talking about today is a spiritual battle. And this battle, this war is bigger than most of us can even comprehend. Most of us have no idea how big this battle is. And you see, we are fighting a giant today, a very real giant today. And you see, whenever we talk about war, how do we know there's a war? Generally, we look at the signs of war. Some of the signs of war today are the divorce rates, the murder rates, abortion rates. Small churches are dying left and right. The school dropout rate is sky high. Our prisons are full. Drug use is on the rise. It's running rampant. And not just heroin, not just meth, not just those things, but prescription drugs. Whenever you look at different businesses in the United States, one of the biggest booming businesses in this country, especially in certain states, is the pornography business. That's big business. We've got groups that go by the name of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these extremists and these people in Nigerian things, and they're gathering people up and they're cutting their heads off, or they're burning them alive, or they're drowning them and all these things. Signs of war. We have a whole generation of youth that is being stolen from our hands. We live in a society today that tells a young boy that if he feels comfortable going in the girls' bathroom, he can go in the girls' bathroom. Or a young girl, if she feels comfortable going in the boys' bathroom, she can go in the boys' bathroom. If you're not happy with your gender, if you're not happy with your sex, then you can change it. We are in a war today, whether we want to believe it or not. It is not pretty, and it's going to get uglier. So who is the enemy? There's several enemies out there, but we need to identify the enemy in this war. The enemy isn't President Barack Obama. The enemy isn't George Bush. The enemy isn't ISIS per se. The enemy isn't the media. The enemy is Satan. He's the enemy. Satan. The Bible says that there's one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Call him the great deceiver. You see, the devil has a slick tongue. We think of the devil, we think of Satan as this cartoon character with horns that's going to come out there and cast all these spells on us and make our head spin and be just acting out and have all these demons in us. But that's not how Satan necessarily works. Satan is smooth. Satan has a slick tongue. Satan is convincing. Satan is a liar. He is a liar. And he is the enemy. And you see, Satan likes to use puppets. He's got a whole world full of puppets, these people on strings that are doing his dirty work. That's who the enemy is Satan. And he's out for battle. He wants war. He has waged war on us. He has struck us with the first blow. Again, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16, says, "For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening." See, what we have here is the Philistines and the Israelites are getting ready to fight, and this giant basically comes up, and this giant's name is Goliath. And he basically said, "Here's the deal. I want to fight somebody. So I want you guys to get together, get your little game plan together. I want you to send somebody to fight me." This guy was a big guy. He was over 9 feet tall, if you look at the measurements in the Bible. He was a monster of a man. He had been in wars. He had been in battles. He was good at fighting. And he wanted to fight. He was a giant. In verse 16, it says, "For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening." So for 40 days this giant was coming up to the battle. And again, the lines were split. One team on this side, one team on the other. But this giant for 40 days and 40 nights, he'd come up and he'd say, "Where's your challenger?" He was mocking these people. "Send somebody." He was beating his chest. "I dare you to send somebody to fight me." He was trying to intimidate. He was mocking. He was poking fun. He was casting doubt. He was trying to silence his foes. "Where is your challenger?" And the Bible said these people were greatly afraid of this guy. He was intimidating. And you know, we think, "Oh, well, there's not some guy that's 9 feet tall out there threatening us." No, but Satan, again, uses these people as puppets. When you look at the media is telling you to be quiet. We don't want to hear about your Jesus. We don't want to hear about your faith. Keep it in your churches. Get it out of our schools. We don't want to hear about your certain beliefs. When you look at, say, someone like the Duck Dynasty, I don't care whether you like Duck Dynasty or not. I'm not saying I do or not. But what I am saying is this guy basically just said he thinks that marriage should be between a man and a woman. And here's what the media did. They just start slinging arrows at this guy. They wanted to tear him down because he simply had a view. You know, they want freedom of speech and all these things. And when I say they, I'm talking about Satan. But he's trying to silence us. He's trying to put fear into our hearts. We are losing our freedoms as Christians. We are losing our freedoms as a church. They are being taken right from us. And the reason why we're not saying anything, because we have fear. They are using the fear card on us. You Jesus freaks, you bigots, you hypocrites. What about the family that chose not to make a wedding cake for a gay couple? There for a minute, they looked like they were going out of business because of their beliefs. We are in a war. We are in a battle. We can sit here in Tolono and think, "Oh, well, everything's good. Everything's fine. It doesn't affect us." It's going to affect you. It sure will affect you. This problem is not going away. A true battle. And you see, we need to stop fighting the enemy's war. That's the problem. We need to change our approach on how we're fighting this war against Satan, against the people that do Satan's work. Some of us think that if we could just get a new president in office, things would be so much better in this world. Not going to happen. I don't care who you put as president. It's not going to change a whole lot. It's not going to change many things. There are still people out there that want to come and kill us and wipe us off the map regardless of who we have as president. There's still people that hate our country because we've got "In God We Trust" on our money. It's not just because we have a lot of stuff. It's because we believe in who we believe in. But you see, we have even several people in our own country that we are being divided here. The Bible kind of paints a picture that it's going to be Christians against everybody else in the last days. And I'm starting to see, you're starting to see the divide. We aren't just all good old, you know, Americans anymore. That's not how it is. We are separating. I am very proud of my flag. I'm very proud of the red, white, and blue. I'm very proud of my country. But at the end of the day, the whole purpose, Satan's plan, he's going to divide this country. United we stand no more. You are either going to stand for Christ or you're going to stand against him. We are in a war. Some of us think that if we can convince the enemy to go away with his tail between his legs, he is not going anywhere. You see, Satan already knows he's lost the big time war. He already knows that. He already knows the outcome. He knows where he's going to spend eternity. And whenever you're fighting an enemy that has nothing to lose, that's a dangerous enemy, and that's an enemy that'll do anything to win. We aren't going to make this enemy run home and cry, "Mama." He's not going to do it. He's a savage and he hates each and every one of us. We can't do this alone. So how do we defeat the enemy? Verse 24 through 27, still in chapter 17. It says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David said to the men who stood by him, 'What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him the same way, 'So shall it be done to the man who kills him.'" You see, thank goodness, but there was this guy named David in this group. And David had a few brothers, and you see, David was the youngest of his brothers. He was just a little fella from what the Bible says. And David was seeing this battle go on, and David was kind of like someone that ran errands. But he was seeing this battle going on, and he sees this giant for the first time, and he says, "Wait a second, you mean to tell me this guy is standing against our God?" David sees the giant and says, "Send me." David wasn't the type of person that we'd expect that would go up and fight this giant. David goes to Saul and says, "You know what, I'd like to fight this giant. Send me, I'll take care of him. If nobody else is going to go, send me and I'll fight this giant." And Saul looks at him and says, "But dude, you're just an itty-bitty squirt. You've never fought anybody. This guy that you're getting ready to fight is an absolute killer." And David says, "Well, you know what? When I attended to the livestock, I would come up against bears and lions, and each time I'd come against one of those, I was able to defeat those. So if I can defeat a bear or a lion, I can surely defeat this 9-foot goofball out here. So I'm sure by now, Saul and the rest of these guys are sitting there thinking, I'm sure not going. Nobody else is jumping for joy to fight this dude. Send the little dweeb out there. Send him." So David's getting ready to fight this battle. He's getting ready to show us how we can defeat this enemy, how to fight a true giant. Verse 38 says, "Then Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine." So it says Saul, he gets David and he puts all this armor on him. And what I picture is I picture some little bitty kid in like this Halloween outfit with the helmet all swishing around. And I picture David just not really fitting in it quite good enough. So he says, you know what? This is just ridiculous. I've got a bigger weapon in my back pocket. I don't need this armor. So he takes off this armor and he approaches the Philistine. David had guts, but there's a reason why he had guts. Many of us need to take David as an example. Lots of times we want to pad ourselves with all this armor. Now, I'm not talking about the armor of God. The armor is very specific about armoring yourself with the armor of God. But too many times we try to pad ourselves with these fail-safe things, where if God doesn't provide or God doesn't come through, I'm going to have a backup plan. We doubt. David wasn't in the doubting mood this time around. He's getting ready to fight this giant. Verse 41 says, "And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field.'" See, this giant was trying to intimidate David. Again, this giant was a big dude. And he sees David, he sees this little bitty squirt coming up to him with a slingshot and five rocks. And he basically looks at him and says, "What am I, a dog? Are we getting ready to play fetch? You're bringing a stick to this fight. I'm a man." This guy had a coat of mail on him that weighed 125 pounds. He had a spear that weighed 15 pounds, just the head of it. This guy was a destroyer. This guy was a killer. This guy was violent, and this guy was not scared of some little bitty David. But here comes David walking up with his slingshot in hand. He's got a staff and he's got a few rocks in his pouch. He's got no armor. He's just a young buck. And the giant tried to scare David off. He tried to intimidate him. Again, that's what Satan's doing to us. "I don't want to hear about your Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear about this Bible stuff anymore. I don't want to hear about your God. I don't want to hear about salvation. I don't want to hear about hell. I don't want to hear about morals, and I don't want to hear about these types of things. Keep your God at home." They're trying to intimidate us. And again, this isn't left-wingers or right-wingers or whatever. This is Satan. We are at war with Satan. Satan's doing a good job because he's painting a picture of this side versus this side, or if you're this, you got this skin color, you can't like this person, or all these things. But Satan's the one doing this. We cannot get it twisted. Satan is the one. But again, this Goliath, he's trying to intimidate David. He says, "What am I, a dog? Are we here to play fetch?" He says, "I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air." So let's hear David's response. Verse 45. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all the assembly may know that the Lord saves not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.'" It's pretty bold of David. David said not only was he going to defeat this giant, but he said, "I'm going to cut your head off." And this giant's probably sitting there thinking, "Wait a minute. You got a slingshot. What are you going to cut my head off with?" But David was bold. David knew. David, in his mind, what he was thinking and what we find out to be truth, David's sitting there looking at that giant sword. He knew he was going to cut his head off with his own sword. He didn't bring one to the battle. But David said, "You know, you're coming at me with a sword and all these things. Satan is fighting us with the sword and all these hurtful things, but you see, we don't have to be super angry. We don't have to fight back with evil and nasty sayings. We don't have to talk bad about these people because we have the Lord on our side. The Bible says that God, with God, all things are possible. If God is for me, who can be against me? God is going to make a footstool out of our enemies." verse 48. It says, when the Philistine arose and came drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into the forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw this, that their champion was dead, they fled. Again, we are in a war today. We are in a very serious war today. But we can't do it alone. Many of you are facing giants today. Many of you are facing sicknesses today. Maybe some of you are just lost a job. There's many giants that we could be facing today, but we are definitely in a war. So as the song leader comes, we're going to close with that. And I just ask that you, seriously, if you've got things on your heart or you've got certain situations that are just weighing you down and certain things that are depressing you or giving you anxiety and all these things, that you just bring them before God and pray for them. This is not going to get any easier. Things are going to get harder. Persecution against the church is going to get worse. We have a bullseye on our back. We are in a war. So I just invite you, if you've got needs, just to come. I'll pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine too. But I just invite you today just to come and get that taken care of.